USAopoly is the company behind your favorite top-quality custom board games made with brands you love. They're your source for authentic, hot pop culture board games and puzzles. They also create award-winning tabletop experiences that will keep your game nights fully entertained with laughter and shareable memories. For more details, go to USAopoly.com. That's USAOPOLY.com.
Warning. DC on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city needs saving.
What happened to you? The right to remain silent.
I'm not a cop anymore. I'm from the future.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive.
Supergirl.
You two don't become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you really heroes. You're legends. You have failed this city.
DC on CW Supergirl Edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, you can take us home by downloading the Rain Man Digital app, available in the iTunes App Store and Google Play. Simply search Rain Man Digital. You can also find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher by searching DC on CW. Once you find us there, please go ahead and leave us a review. I am your host, Lauren Alexander. Midvale. Kara and Alex return home to both deal with the pain of losing a loved one, and we get insight to the two of them growing up as we flashback 10 years. Which was an interesting time.
It was an interesting time.
It was a good time. I don't know. It was fine. Well, not good for them. No. I mean, like, it was a good time for us as viewers.
Were either of you worried when we got, like, the flashback?
Yes.
Oh, totally.
Like,
always.
As the whole storyline. Okay.
Anytime the CW does a flashback, I'm immediately hesitant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's so much potential for them to mess it up.
I'm just glad I wasn't the only one with the anxiety of going, oh, geez. This could be bad.
Well, I was worried that we were going to get an episode of back and forth the same way Arrow tends to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't really like that. I'm not particularly fond of that. So I was concerned for sure.
They All right. would be like, this is like when we fought when we were six. And be like,
yeah. All right, let's chat about some news. So there's an unavoidable news topic, which is that one of the showrunners has been accused of sexual harassment, and all of the leads of the shows have been kind of subtly talking about these allegations and calling for Melissa Benoist in particular, called for industry change after Supergirl boss accused of sexual harassment. The Hollywood Reporter reported on it. And, I mean, really, she just put out no one's really outright said much of anything about him specifically. But they're using the opportunity to use their platform to talk about it. So Melissa Benoist posted some stuff and said, when people commit crimes or harass others, they should always be held accountable, no matter what industry they work in or how much power they wield. I've spoken up about it in the past, publicly and not so publicly, and I'll continue to do so. All of us should, without fear or shame. We all need to hold ourselves to a higher standard. She noted that this isn't uncommon in the industry, which is, quote, heartbreaking and makes her, quote, feel helpless. I know I'm not the only one who feels this way, but I'm an optimist. I believe lasting change is possible. And when people are mistreated, they should have a safe forum to speak their trust and always be heard. Actually, speak their truth, I believe, is the correct quote.
Yeah.
And so this week I'll head back to work on Supergirl, even more committed to being a part of changing the norm by listening when people speak up and refusing to accept an environment that is anything less than a safe, respectful, and collaborate space. A lot of them
Most of the female.
Yeah, most.
And male have come out since this article was written across all the shows. And in, like you said, it's weird, you know, and it was tough for me as producer of the show. I threw it out to you guys first, you know, to say if we wanted to discuss it or not, you know, and with things going on in this world, it's weird to have like, you know, we're a fun show. We try to get around it, but it's like we have to be truthful to what this is. And, you know, it was, you know, I threw it out to you guys, you know, first before I ever put it into the notes, you know, if we wanted to discuss it. And it's just like a weird thing for me. You know, I can't make those decisions. I wanted to throw it out to you girls, you know, or women. Don't yell at me because I said girls.
Oh, no. Didn't we cover that in the pilot episode?
I was joking.
I know.
But you know what I mean? It's just like because, you know, we have a lot of male hosts on there, and I just didn't feel it was our responsibility to discuss it. So I wanted it to come from you guys. So, it's a weird thing that's happened, and, you know, it's probably going to affect the show a lot because, you know, whether we know it or not, Kreisberg was behind a lot of the big storylines that were going on there.
You know, unfortunately, we can't speak to whether or not this is true. You know, it's alleged sexual harassment and misconduct, but we have no idea. There's 19 men and women.
Oh, it's 19 now?
19 men and women have come forward to allege sexual harassment from Kreisberg. And that is unfortunate. And that definitely skews opinions in a particular way.
Yeah, it's not one or two just angry rogue people.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. But, you know,
what it's good is it's good that it's giving the platform because, you know, the females of the Arrowverse have, you know, had the She Authority and everything else.
Yeah.
And so they're using it as a platform. They're not backing down. So,
which is great.
Yeah.
And, you know, Berlanti Productions and Warner Brothers are taking this seriously. They said, you know, we were recently made aware of some deeply troubling allegations regarding one of our showrunners. We've been encouraging and fully cooperating with the investigation into this by Warner Brothers. So, I think they know that they can't get away with like shielding him if it's true.
Yeah.
So, well,
especially with the CW and Berlanti and everybody in the universe being so kind of open to the diverse population of, you know, having gay, bi characters, you know, actors, etc. You can't, if you want people to come work for you, you got to take this shit seriously and, you know, make a stand, not just be like, well, we'll wait till all the accusations and the truth come out. It's like, no, they suspended them right off the bat.
Yeah. So, you know, if these allegations are true, then, you know, good riddance. No one needs to be in a work environment like that. No one needs to feel uncomfortable or unsafe to that sort of level or at all, really, when going to work. But truthfully, it does suck that he's suspended. And if these allegations are true, it's a shame, not only for, you know, the people who he affected and, you know, a shame that he acted that way, but also because he was arguably the most talented showrunner.
Yeah.
On these shows, you know, anytime he's working on them, they're great.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that's crappy.
It's always one of those things that, like, unfortunately, I read the article for the first time, and I know, like, I think I broke it to Nicole for the first time. She really didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah.
Because again, I go through and, you know, everybody gets texts from me every once in a while. Look what I found, and this was just one of those things, and it was just like, I was like, oh, man, that sucks that he did it. And then I was like, oh, shit, man, he's the talent. What's going to happen to our shows? And I'm like, why am I looking at it that way? It's like I'm an asshole.
You know, not really. You have no emotional ties to it. Like, yes,
it wasn't my sister, daughter, brother.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's unfortunate for everyone that was affected. Obviously, like that doesn't even need to be said at this point. Like that was probably a very traumatic experience for them, or at least unsettling. And of course, we are concerned about that. However, in our own personal lives, but probably the first thought is going to be how it affects us, which is directly through this show. Yeah. You know, what does that mean for us and our shows? And yeah, it seems kind of selfish at first, but that's just the reality of you know, when something happens. Yeah, you're going to think about how it affects you first. Yeah, so that's a shame.
It's a real damn shame.
It's a damn shame. But I do appreciate how seriously everyone is taking it and taking, you know, the investigation and looking into it and making sure that they're making the right calls on everything and taking the allegations seriously. You know, we're seeing a lot of stuff like Gal Gadot saying if Brett Ratner is involved on Wonder Woman 2, she's not going to be a part of it. So he's
and I think she
off of that.
Yeah, she like confirmed today or yesterday or something that he's gone. So.
He is gone.
Oh, that one was an easy one because there's probably people with deep pockets looking to take his spot.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally.
You're like, we will buy you out of your share of the movie.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on from that.
The other allegations?
To other allegations. this one is interesting. I mean,
I have something to lighten the mood after.
Right. There we go. Let's different allegations, a little lighter, lighter fare. Haha, that joke was intentional. Jeremy Jordan, who is Wynn, has alleged that a recent trip to Chipotle caused him to have a near-death experience that landed him in the hospital. In his first ever Instagram story.
What? What happened?
He used his first ever Instagram story to revealed the tale to his followers. He was in the hospital, hooked up to an IV. Oh my God. Doing that.
Saying, doing that, yes.
I know I've advocated for them in the past, but they're terrible. I am in the hospital and I have fluids in my arm because the food did not agree with me and I almost died. Like, I don't know.
So if Wynn looks a little bit skinnier on the upcoming episode.
I just like, how do you know that? I don't know.
How do you know you didn't touch a door handle or drink something?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many other ways to see. I mean, I know this for a fact just because my daughter's in preschool now that it's like, I don't know what diseases you're coming home with. Because
yeah.
I look at some of the kids when I pick it up and I'm like, oh, that one's all snotty. That's coming to my house now somehow because they grabbed the same Lego.
Right. And like, you know, food poisoning does happen, but it literally always happens at like every establishment in existence at one point or another. It's just unavoidable when you consume things. It's just every once in a while, every once in a while, something's going to slip through. Like, it's just, I have a hard time.
Or in Steve's case, it's every night.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Fun fact, guys.
But, like, I don't know. If it almost killed him, wouldn't there be other people in the hospital?
Yeah, there would be everybody that ate that chicken or whatever burrito he had. I just like how it's always a Mexican food place. You never hear, like, right. I got poisoned by Olive Garden.
Yeah. Well,
they're next now.
Yeah.
You jinxed them.
I just set them up.
God. Yeah, so I guess that's enough about that. And,
you're like, I don't want you to play any more fart sounds.
I don't want any more farts. So let's move on to some weird, cool news. Supergirl Season 3 will feature DC Comics Tormox. So they just did a like casting call for a Tormox. This is the description. Female, 20s to 40s, open ethnicity, a warrior of Amazonian stature, jacked, tough, and brutal. Jacked!
Well, damn, I'm out.
She is a...
No, the strongest person on this network over there, pound for pound, going, jacked. Yeah, right.
No, I'm out because Nicole's of the Amazonian muscles. Part, because that means they want someone tall.
Okay. I was like, you said that right after jacked. I was like, please, you do things that none of us can do, so stop.
Well, I mean, I was like, okay, yeah, I might be able to do this. And then I saw Amazonian, and I was like, well, never mind.
You and Lauren can stack... you two on top of each other.
Yeah, I got thick legs, lots of muscle, lots of support.
I'll just start walking on top of my shoulders. How about that?
No, we'll just do the trench coat trick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'll be underneath you and you'll be like, hello, my name's Nicole.
I'm auditioning for the role. What was the doctor on Scrubs?
God. The giant doctor.
Giant doctor. Yeah. It's like the tallest doctor in the world.
Yeah.
Whatever.
With the giant clipboard.
And the giant pencil.
I love Scrubs.
Ah!
I love Scrubs so
much. You guys
much.
Could be that version.
Scrubs is the greatest.
I know.
All right. Yeah. So she's a guest star, blah, blah, blah. Dangerous and angry. Gets into a violent fight. She's a fierce alien prisoner. Yeah. We don't know what kind of role they're going to have. But they are... They first appeared in Guy Gardner Warriors. So a Lantern story. They're a... cruel, sadistic, vicious race of a neo-fascist regime which exists to rape and plunder the universe and all of its inhabited worlds.
I don't know if you should be using that word after the first story.
Right? They're like, malicious and brutal species by nature. I mean, I'm sure they'll take the rape part out for the show, but plunder, use people, you know, they're defilers of ways of life by nature. I don't know. They're basically terrible. They're just awful.
They're just
worst. Awful and violent and mean, horrible aliens. So we'll see how that happens. We're only getting one.
Yeah.
So we don't know if we're going to get more of them later or like, when they first appeared, there was like, it showed their ongoing feud with the Voldarians. And Guy Gardner realized he was one of the last Voldarians. So, I don't know. We'll see if anything comes about with that. That might be something we see, but maybe not. Who knows? They do all sorts of stuff with aliens. So, that being said, move on away from news. Let's take a quick little break.
I love it.
Are you crying?
No.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
This is Star Wars from the Butter Tank Exclusive.
It's operational.
And if you can't get on board that idea, then you probably shouldn't be making movies, or you just go make a low-budget indie film where you don't have to answer to anybody.
Yeah. Do your own project.
Yeah. So I have so much confidence for the upcoming Han Solo movie. I hope it doesn't suck now, because I'm putting all the chips on the table here, Dave.
In the back of my brain, I'm like, please don't be bad.
We're really blowing this. Watch it be the worst movie ever.
And then we have to come in the next day and go,
liar!
You were wrong.
I hate you, Ron Howard. You're the worst decision.
Why did you fail me?
I hate you. If we did that, that would be so on par with Star Wars fans. That would be me. That would be us.
That'd be our destiny.
From thebattentank.com for more details. And get ready for an excitingly good time. Also, if you've missed our last show, you can also find us on your Stitcher app. Search Back to Tank. Add us to your favorites. Thank you, and we will see you very soon.
Hey guys, did you know that Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service? That's right, besides the weekly free broadcasts, Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service, and when you pledge to our Patreon page, you automatically become a subscriber, so it's super easy. The premium service includes video content plus additional exclusive shows like Star Trek from the Holodeck, Comic Book Chaos, our very own DC on CW bonus shows.
I mean, it's worth the price of the subscription.
Supernatural, The Crossroads, and more. So head on over to patreon.com/RainManDigital and sign up today.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL30 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL30. That's DEAL30 at adamandeve.com.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
All right, so let's jump right on into this episode. Season 3, Episode 6, Midvale, directed by Rob Greenlee? Question mark? His name looks unfinished. Written by Caitlin.
Those are cut and paste, so I don't actually type those.
It's just funny. It's like, Greenlee? It looks like it should be like Greenleaf, but there's no F.
Yeah.
Written by Caitlin Parrish and Jess Cardos. So, before we get into the story, let's just talk about the casting of younger Alex and Kara, because holy crap. First of all, Kara looked like identical to like absolutely what I imagine Melissa Benoist looked like as a teenager.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was one of those awkward moments when you look at both of them, like as a dude, I'm like, those are like they will grow up to be attractive women because I've already seen it.
Right.
That's creepy because they're like 14, 15.
No, that's fine. Like objectively, just recognizing like, wow, you can tell that you're going to grow into someone very beautiful. Like that's not weird to say.
It is for me when I have a daughter.
No, that's still not like...
No, I know.
That's not being like, man, those teenagers are hot.
Yeah.
I can say that when they're 18. You know what I mean?
Can't wait till you turn.
Yeah. You turn. That's it's not awkward. A zombie apocalypse.
Anyway.
Alex, like the girl that played younger Alex is like spot on. Mannerisms and everything, the way she talked, the way she tilted her head and stuff, everything.
Yeah.
It was blowing my mind.
Those girls crushed it.
Oats. Toats McGoats.
All right. So young Alex was Olivia Nick Cannon. Olivia Nick Cannon. So there's a black guy trapped inside of, I think.
I hyphenated.
And Kara was Isabella Vladovic. Vladovic? I don't know. Whatever. That's as good as we're going to get.
You're so much better than I am.
I would have given up halfway through. So
I would have been like Isabella Russian.
Isabella Russian or some Eastern other Bloc. Eastern European something. Ukrainian. I don't know. Something Slavic. But for real, though, like this is part of what makes flashbacks believable is casting people that don't distract you from it. Don't make you go, wow, that's not believable. That doesn't look like them. You know, it really sells it when you find people who believably look at least passable as the younger version of the current actor or actress. And honestly, like, you can't just do that and have the acting be bad either. So yeah. It's a really tough job for a casting director, but man, they did it. Like,
seriously,
they both talked like them. They had their mannerisms. They really, really did their work, and it paid off. Those two young girls are phenomenal. They're leaps and bounds beyond many adults in their field.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, because I mean, that was, I think, my biggest, like, I brought it up at the beginning of the show, was I was nervous knowing that we were going to have like this full flashback thing. And part of it was the whole getting distracted by the younger actors that were playing them. And like about 5 minutes into like when we truly got to like the flashback part, I was lost in the episode. And I believe that that was those two people talking. And it's a complete, like, it might have been the best like casting I've seen of somebody's younger versions.
I can't think of a better instance of that. Recently.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you guys have anything.
I'm trying to think, and there's, I know there's something, but I can't I can't even think right now.
Yeah. I mean, because it's one of those things.
It's been a while.
Yeah. You don't see it. Well, I just don't think people are willing to risk it in movies and TV a lot because it's just like we all said, you go in there with some kind of anxiety, just like, don't fuck this up, because it's a key episode to kind of getting the background story of the girls. And it would have been ruined if we're just like, yeah, that chick doesn't do anything to make her think that was Kara at any time. Sorry, I was swallowing a burp.
Well, all right.
But this episode is full of gas, apparently.
I don't know what's wrong with
this episode is full of Easter eggs, tell you what. This Supergirl episode is totally full of Easter eggs. So another thing before we get really into the episode, there was a huge Easter egg that a lot of people probably missed, and that was a bunch of Smallville stuff. So first of all, the high school that they used was the same one that they used for Smallville High on Smallville.
Oh, the actual set?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
I missed that one. Let me go revise my article.
So, yeah. So that was, it's the same, it's the same school used for Midvale High. All right, Midvale High and Smallville High. And then beyond that, Kara and Alex find a laptop. And they send it off to Chloe Sullivan, who can help save the data off of it and blah, blah, blah. Kara mentions that she helps Clark and has her own wall of weird. So this was something that I knew was an Easter egg, but I never really watched it. Like, I just knew the character was an Easter egg.
Well, because you're like 10 when the show was on.
So I watched TV when I was 10.
I'm just saying.
Also, it wasn't that long ago, you jerk. It didn't start airing 17 years ago, did it?
It was 2001.
Okay, I was 11. Whoops. Well.
Because I'm old enough, and two, I watched all 10 seasons of Smallville. So I caught it right away, and I was like, holy shit. Like, what is going on? And it was like a cool thing, and then you're just wondering, okay, what else does this mean?
Yeah. So for those that don't know, Chloe Sullivan was Clark's best friend in Smallville, which ran for 10 seasons. Chloe was known in high school for keeping the wall of weird in the office of the school newspaper. She was created for Smallville, was not adapted for the comics. So Kara's mention of her and the wall of weird, you know, could indicate that both Smallville and the current Supergirl show both reside on Earth 38. That's reasonable. Totally reasonable. I don't know.
Sounds about right.
There were some other Easter eggs, too. Like, the shot... So they mentioned Superman's briefs, which is, you know, funny.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are way past that. So the other one was, like, a Superman the movie thing. So there was an homage to, like, 1978's Superman the movie. Kara realized, something was wrong with Kenny. And took off running, like, to get to the scene of the crime. And there's a scene where she's, like, leaping through the air with her backpack on her back. And it totally looks like a scene in Superman the movie where Clark is racing a train with a backpack on and, like, leaps over the train.
I did not catch that.
Nope. Catch that one.
Yeah. Mm-mm. So that's a thing.
It's still cool how they keep doing this, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Erica Durant's getting recasted as Kara's mother, and then, you know, Hank taking the form of the FBI agent as the face of her mother. You know, she was Lois Lane in Smallville. So they keep reaching back.
Here's another cool thing, though, too. This was like a super Easter egg heavy episode. So
and it wasn't a bunch of bullshit. They were like really hidden.
Yeah. So the FBI agent, air quotes, winky face there, who visited Kara to, like, give her advice and be like, hey, no powers. Her name was Agent Noelle Neal. So Noelle Neal is the actress, the name of the actress who played Lois in the first Superman serials for Columbia Pictures in 1948 and again in 1950.
No.
Good Lord.
Yeah, she continued.
They are going back.
I know. She continued to appear in film and television portrayals of the Superman universe the rest of her career, appearing in 1978's Superman the Movie and even Smallville. So she's like, she's another actress that they just try and keep in all of that. Yeah. So that's just like weird, cool stuff that they did.
It just shows the writers go back and do the research. And
it shows, you know, they care.
Yeah. Try to do something that, again, they're just little things that most people don't recognize or may not know about, but makes such a big deal to people that do recognize it. Because again, like the Chloe Sullivan thing, I was like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. You know,
that's because, so crazy.
Yeah, you're like, what's going to happen now? It's like they could do anything, you know, it's, and then, you know, for the Chloe thing for me, I was like, I have to forget that there was a Supergirl on that show too.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, you know, I'll take it.
But you know what? Maybe it's not exactly the Smallville universe, but that character exists, you know, within the TV universe. So there you go. I mean, we get to see so much more about Kara and Alex's relationship and their life growing up, because I think we all just assumed that they've been like, they had a rocky start, but then they were like close. I think we all just kind of assumed that, like, yeah, they probably had a rough couple of years and then they bonded and they've been sisters. And turns out, nuh-uh.
Nope.
Not the case.
Not even close.
It seems like they've only been close for maybe like a decade.
Yeah.
And they've been together longer than that. So, we get to actually dive a little bit more into Kara's current state of mind too, because they gave us the impression that she's just kind of moved on and she's, you know, healing and doing okay with the Mon-El stuff. But Eliza, being the great mom that she is, just fucking locks in on that target and is like, no, you're not okay. And you don't need to be. Like, you don't need to be okay yet. Yeah, you might be getting a little bit better, but honestly, you're just shutting out the pain. You're just ignoring it. That's all you're doing right now. And like, there's a point where Kara says, like, I'm okay, I'm happy. And she's like, you don't look happy. Rough man.
She called that out so fast.
How dare you, adopted mom. I'm feeling very attacked right now.
So triggered.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't in a good mood till you started talking to me about this shit.
Right?
I was happy until you pointed it out.
But like, honestly, I feel like that's a really believable way for Kara to handle trauma and handle like loss in that way, is to just kind of shut out the pain and kind of ignore it. And she mentions that she thinks that too many people depend on her to give in and to just let herself be that way. Let herself be upset, be sad, be grieving, whatever. And I think that's entirely believable. You know, I mean, for someone like Supergirl to just give in to that pain, and not only Supergirl, but Kara, who is honestly kind of the backbone of her whole social group. She's always the one that's like, no, I'm going to help you. No, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to do this and that. Like, I'm in support of you entirely.
I think what we're seeing there is, you know, just like anything tragic happens, or you get kind of get lost in your work because it's the distraction. And I think this was the first time we actually see her sit down and not have the newspaper, not have, you know, to save the city. There's nothing going on. You're just out there at your home. And, you know, I think that's, you know, the first time where, you know, in the conversation where her mother just reminded her, yeah, maybe shit isn't right.
Well, and I think it's, I think it made sense because, yeah, you're right. When anytime you go through something that deeply upsets you, whether it's a breakup or, you know, losing someone to death or whatever, people do. They just totally dive into whatever work or projects or hobbies or social life or whatever. It's a way to get through it. It's a distraction. It's a coping mechanism. And yeah, she did this, I think, a lot for Alex and maybe a little bit for herself subconsciously. And when they get there, she does seem kind of sad again. And, but I think it's, I think it shows that she has gotten a little better, because it's a softer sadness, a softer pain. You know, it's like, it's more a little forlorn rather than like volatile and all over the place and unpredictable and angry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So she's clearly moving through those grief stages.
Yeah.
Kara actually gets the angry side of grief from Alex. You know, Kara is going to bed. Alex is already up there. And Alex is just waiting to fight. She's just waiting to lash out because she's in that angry stage, and that's what you do.
And she's been boozing.
She's been boozing.
At quoting Kara, she goes from, what was it, sad drunk to mean drunk. Mm-hmm. Like, you're edging on mean drunk, and I only signed up for sad drunk.
Same. not on board for mean drunk from anyone.
Yeah, never.
You know, Alex mentions, Kara, you have no right to push me to talk about Maggie and to say that that's going to help, because you've shut down and, like, you don't talk about Mon-El. You don't want to talk about Mon-El. You refuse to. So what right do you have to say to me that I should talk about it and that'll make it better?
She had a point.
Which is a valid point. A little on the nose there.
It was just one of those things, like, I hate when, like, if I was trying to comfort somebody and then they want to throw my shortcomings in my face. Be like, yeah, I'm here for you right now. We're not talking about my fuck-ups.
Listen, this isn't about me right now. This is about you.
Yeah. Yours is a little more recent. You didn't come to me when I had these issues.
Yeah.
What kind of person are you?
Yeah.
Why are you bringing it up now?
But they, all of this, like, anger and sadness and whatever is a wonderful setup. Like, they go to bed angry. They, you know, they crawl into bed and they're just like, fuck it. This was a great setup for the flashback to their younger selves because of where they were at emotionally at that point. But we'll get more into that after this quick break. USAopoly is the company behind your favorite top quality custom board games made with the brands you love. They're your source for authentic and hot pop culture board games and puzzles. They also create award-winning tabletop experiences that will keep your game nights fully entertained with laughter and shareable memories. Brands include Game of Thrones, Rick and Morty, Star Trek, The Walking Dead, and hundreds more. So be sure to check out their list of games by heading to usaopoly.com. That's USAOPOLY.com. All right, so cue the magical flashback, like, sound effects of they went to sleep in their childhood bedroom, and that segue is probably some of the best. It segues into some of the best use of flashbacks. Oh,
that's a horrible flashback sound effect.
That was bad.
I was like, God, that's not what I expected.
All right.
All right, fuck you, sound effect.
Oh. Well, after that disappointment, let's talk about how much of a disappointment this episode wasn't. We get... But this is like, this is the absolute origin of Kara and Alex, the Danvers sisters, fighting crime, solving mysteries, hunting killers for the first time together.
It's our little Nancy Drew story.
Yeah. Babysitter's Club. What? No. So the relationship.
Hardy Boys?
Probably a little more like Hardy Boys. Alex's and Kara's relationship, you know, we touched on that earlier. The fact that we probably thought that they were, like, everyone in this room probably thought that they've just been close after, you know, a little rough patch starting off. But honestly, like, Alex just hates Kara. Hates that she's there, doesn't like having to be her babysitter. She says, like, she says some harsh shit to her, too. And
he's a little asshole.
And I quote, "Before you crashed in that pod, I had a great life with two great parents, and now I have you, and you are not worth it."
That hurts. Dude, that
burn. Damn.
Wow. That's rough.
Like, I'd be like, I'd go home, but they won't let me.
Right, for real.
Where am I going
to
go?
And honestly,
I'd go home, but there is nothing to go back to.
I want to be harder on Alex for this, but realistically thinking, you know, looking back on myself as a teenager, there's hormones, there's anger issues, there's, especially if you've got like a weird family situation or you like go through divorce or like lose one of your parents, something like that.
Or you're the popular girl and your sister's the nerd.
Oh my God. No, it's honestly, it's honestly really believable. Especially when as a teenager, you know, in your own home, someone new comes in, you lose one of your parents, and then your other parent just doesn't listen to anything you say. And you just feel like no matter what you're saying, you're not being heard.
Yeah.
And your needs don't matter. Your viewpoints don't matter at all.
And that random adjustment from being the only child for how many ever years to all of a sudden somebody new coming in. It's like, oh, well, you like the new puppy better than the old puppy.
Yeah, honestly.
You have to share things. Ew.
Yeah.
This room was huge before you moved in.
It's still huge, but now I only get half of it. I get a regular size room. Thanks, Kara.
Well, I just know that I could never be a super because if somebody was talking to me like that when I was that young, I'd be like, bitch, when you sleep, I could fry you with my eyeballs.
Bitch, step up. Say something.
Yeah, what are you going to do to me?
Get in my face right now. Honestly, it was believable 100% because Kara is treated with kind of kid gloves, you know?
She kind of is.
Handle her delicately. Mm. Oh, you got to look out for her, blah, blah, blah. And Kara went through something arguably more traumatic than Alex did. But as a kid, you don't have that perspective, you know? All you know is what you're going through. I don't know. So we also get a look at their school life, and Kara is totally, totally bored with it. Does not even understand why she has to do it. History is just like for her, but calculus, she was like, we learned that when I was like in third grade or whatever, or three, or I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we get a little eye on, hey, Earth to Miss Danvers. And Alex shows her right the hell up with, it was George Washington, and here's several facts about him.
What did she say? Like Isaiah Washington?
Yeah, Isaiah Washington.
I was like, wait, what?
His parents just not paying attention.
Oh, yeah, definitely not.
But they have this little, they have this moment which shows really where they're at in their relationship where, you know, Alex shows her up in class, says, try to keep up. And Kara then kicks her butt in gym and says, try to keep up. And Alex does one of those little like lunging forward, kind of getting in your face. And Kara actually kind of is like, wait, what? Why are you doing that? Yeah, what's going on?
That one amused me.
I can't use my powers. Like, what do we, I can't, what's happening?
please don't.
Yeah. And Alex is like the ever popular one. She's one of the cool kids, hangs out with the jocks. And meanwhile, Kara only has one friend, the adorable Kenny Lee.
Do they do this, like, cast Asians like that because they're way more believable? It seems like every, like, you know, we just saw it in Spider-Man.
What do you mean? As, like, the best friend?
Like, the best friend that will hang out with the, like, you know, they're losers together or loners together.
I don't know.
Do they?
I don't know if they did it on purpose. I honestly, optimistically, want to say that they cast a Kenny because Superman had a childhood friend named Kenny who actually grew up to be a supervillain named Conduit. But
fun
his name was
to the day, everyone.
Yeah, his name was Kenny Braveman, though. And he like super tainted himself with like kryptonite or something, I want to say, and like overdosed or something. Something like that. I'm not a Superman aficionado. I have little random bits and pieces of info in my brain, and that's about it. But honestly, I optimistically want to hope that they just like cast a Kenny And that kid happened to be the one that won out. So he got, you know.
So he got an Asian family to go along with him.
Yeah. Yeah, he got totally. An Asian family to complete the ensemble. But Kenny ends up getting moidled. He gets moidled, I tell you.
Aww.
It was actually super sad.
It was stupid sad.
There's that vulnerable, wonderful little moment with Kara and Kenny in the woods. And it's a really believable, like, young teenage moment where, like, he goes in to try and kiss her and she's, like, kind of leaning into it and then, like, hesitates and is like, and kind of, like, bitches out.
Have you guys had those moments?
When I was a kid, yeah, totally.
I can remember that shit happening and be like, do you know that she was actually just trying to, like, kiss you? I'm like, wait, what?
Wait a second, you know, what?
Can we go back? Like, I can recapture the moment.
But you can, like, you can tell how much that friendship means to him and how much he cares about her because he doesn't like get weird afterwards. He's just like, yeah, I care about you. You're my friend. Like, just keeps like moving on like nothing happened. Like, what a good guy, Kenny.
He didn't just like ditch out.
He didn't deserve to get murdered.
He didn't do this. CW did something different this time. They didn't make him be angry at her.
Yeah, I didn't want to kiss you anyway. You're ugly, you slut.
Yeah.
Hashtag nice guy.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
With a fedora on his head. All right. But we find out that Alex actually did have a soft spot for Kenny as well because they were working together on like some tutoring stuff. He was tutoring her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make me better than my sister.
Oh, God. Yeah. And so Kara and Alex start working together.
What if he turned around like, your sister kissed me?
Your sister kissed me.
I use the same moves on your sister.
I just, you know, sometimes you just got to throw everything against the wall and see what sticks, you know?
I'm going to get one, you Danvers.
I'm gonna get one of you.
I'm gonna get one of you. Where's that mom?
We switched accents real fast.
Yeah, whatever. It was weird.
Yeah, what happened?
Those are two different.
I can't get that loud with that much spit in my mouth.
I know. I'm having a hard time even like pooling that much spit right now. So they start working together to solve the murder. Totally Nancy Drew, Hardy Boys, etc. And they go through. They're just like solving all the little like mischief. Crimes of Midvale. You know, they get the star jock, like the like quarterback of the football team or whatever, busted for smoking pot. Kara totally kicked his butt a little bit too in front of all of the other guys in the locker room, which was awesome. They busted a teacher for being a pedophile, so that's a cool thing.
That was interesting to have in that episode.
Yeah,
all the Hollywood stuff going on. I'm like, oh well, this is interesting too.
It almost remember the first season where we watched them out of order because they got nervous and they switched the bombing episode.
Yes, oh, they aired them in one order and they were initially written to be played in another order.
And it just confused the fuck out of like this would have been that episode.
Literally everyone.
Like, yeah. If something would have come out like bigger, I could see them being like, well, we're going to play this one later.
We're just going to...
Yeah. play them out of order again.
Yeah. And they initially think that teacher killed Kenny and attempted to kill the Danvers sisters. Turns out he was just a pedophile, guys. He's not a murderer.
Could you imagine that, like, as a storyline? Be like, sorry, you are under arrest, sir. There's no way I could have killed it. I was totally fucking the 16-year-old.
That's essentially what they implied with Josie. were with him the whole night? Yeah, I was. Oh.
Yeah. I was there when the cops came and arrested him.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Please tell me you were clothed.
I mean, it's just like, wait, do I want to go to jail as a murderer or do I want to go to jail as for statutory rape?
Yeah. Well.
Murder just seems a lot more easy. Prison time for me. I'm going to risk it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get off anyways.
Also,
no evidence.
I feel like in prison, you're going to have a better time if you're just a regular old murderer and not a pedophile.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
You're going to get the shit beaten out of you if you're a pedophile in prison. They don't take kindly to that.
Yeah.
So, turns out, though, that the sheriff is the douchebag and he's like smuggling drugs and stuff like that. And of course, it was the cop. Of course it was the cop. The one that everyone's trusting and running to with info. And
yeah, we'll use that as a lead.
Right? He pulls a gun on Alex. Who pulls a gun on like a 16-year-old girl and is just like, suck it, bitch. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Mr. Dickbag over here. That's it.
Yeah. But it's cool to see the progression of their relationship, Alex and Kara's relationship, as we're going through this episode, as they're going through this murder investigation on their own. Because it finally, once it gets to that point, Alex knows that Kara is going to save her. Alex knows that no matter what, no matter how much they disagree, no matter how much they may fight over the bathroom and say shitty things to each other, Kara's not going to let Alex get killed. She would never let that happen. And she knows that Kara can and will find her and can get to her incredibly quickly and
she
will stop her. Yeah. Alex's little speech. First of all, Alex has always been a little bit of a badass. She's got a gun looking her right in the face. And she's just like, I'd be worried if I were you, bro.
And they're listening right now. I'm like, dude,
no one can hear us down
he's
here.
He's going to shoot you before she gets
there,
though.
Yeah, she can. That her little speech was so good.
Yeah, I loved it.
It was amazing. Her just being like, you should be scared. Like, someone can hear us. And she's coming. She's coming for you. Like,
I was like a little worried that he was going to like shoot her, though. So I was like, you're talking a big game and he knows nothing of what you're talking about.
Right.
So I got
slightly
worried. That's
what made it cool, though.
I know.
She's a hard ass.
Such a badass.
Yeah. And Alex gives up her social life basically by being like the snitch of the school with Kara by the end of it. And they become the pair sitting at the lonely table. You notice the kids get up when Alex sits down and they're just like, nope, not going to let you overhear our conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the new Kenny.
So a question to pose. Do you think Alex ever looks back and goes, what could have been? Had I not done this, or had my life been normal without a Kryptonian?
I don't know. I kind of doubt it.
It's just one of those things. The reason I put that in there was I was looking at it going, wow, she had a completely different life, and then she became like this snitch because of her sister and all this other stuff. And now she kind of has that harder edge to herself, and she was not that way before this incident.
Yeah. I think, honestly, she probably does. I'm sure she looks back occasionally and thinks about what life could have been like had all of these major things not happened. But I don't think at this point and after that event, I don't think she looks back. Actually, you know what? I take that back. I think when things were still a little like weird and rocky with Kara and Alex at the beginning of this show, like things were good, but things were still a little reserved. You know what I mean? Like Alex and Kara bonded, but then I think Alex kind of shut herself down after a few years. Like once she entered adulthood and got into things, and she was working with the DEO, and she couldn't tell Kara at all. She couldn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
So I think she kind of shut back down after that, and may have looked at her life going, you know, what could have been if this wasn't the thing? If I didn't have to look after Kara my whole life and blah,
I could
blah,
have
blah.
Been married to Johnny Football and totally tucked in my lesbian fantasies.
Yeah. But I think at this point in our story, she doesn't look back thinking anything like regretful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, guys, final thoughts on this episode. Nicole.
It was a really good episode. I really liked the casting. The casting was like perfection. And the story, even though it was like, you know, obviously it's not part of the main story and it was more of like a character development type episode, it was really well done. I loved everything about it, and I loved getting that look into the Danvers sisters' relationship. Editing was great. There wasn't really a lot of special effects, so
yeah, it was just a cheap episode for him.
Yeah, it was
super cheap. Smallville set.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was effective. Honestly, yeah. I mean, I think we might be able to agree that this was one of, if not the best flashback episode that we've ever had on any of the shows.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I would agree.
They accomplished more in like the 51 minutes than you know, in doing
than
one
Arrow
giant,
does in yeah. seven seasons well, or whatever.
That's the thing, is because you get a continuous story. It wasn't like a, I wonder where they're going with this, you know, type thing.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, it was a big character development type thing to where, well, you know, we got a lot more insight.
I think we also got to see where Alex got the idea to go into the career that she did.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. Yes. And the way they wrapped it up at the end was just like amazing. You know, them coming
super
back together
sweet.
And kind of just reminiscing on that a little bit and saying like, yeah, that was a tough time. And kind of giving into being vulnerable with each other. They're both in a place of pain and they're just kind of like, okay, yeah, sorry. We did the lashing out thing. We're done now. Let's just chill and lean on each other. So,
chillax.
Overall, I was really impressed with this. From casting to the story itself, everything was so good, and I'm just pleased. Just pleased as punch. So with that, guys, that's going to do it for today's DC on CW Supergirl edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through the Rain Man digital app. And please be sure to follow us on our social medias. We've got Twitter at DC on CW, Facebook.com/DC on CW, and our Instagram is at DC_on_CW. And we'll catch you next time.
Not in the mood for chit-chat. Gotcha. Ready when you are.
How did you do that?
I'm Supergirl.
You're who now?